Thank you for joining me today. This week we've been talking about the state of the world and the idea of chaos, how that really the Antichrist wants to bring chaos about because that's his best way to be able to insert a world leader. And boy, we've seen chaos in every area, health and all the things. And so we've been using these scriptures as we look at the state of the world, the idea that in the last days, there will be giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And we saw that some of the most respected people, medical doctors, lied to us. We saw that people that were respected because they were entrepreneurs and computer geniuses, and now they're using their fortune to actually injure and cripple people, using them as human guinea pigs. And we saw that the Bible said in the last days, perilous times would come, chaos everywhere. And so today we want to continue our look at that because you see, God says he's going to give us up to uncleanness. When we change the truth of God to a lie, when we pervert the gospel, when we change and depart from the plan of God, we're going to have to pay for it. So God will give us up to these vile affections, but he has a plan for those that have received him. That's why the gospel is so important. Later this week, I'm going to talk to you about one of the questions submitted was, how do we wait patiently? What does that mean? We'll answer that because, you see, we're in the waiting patiently stage, but there's something that we should be doing, and we'll address that. Well, today, again, we want to look at these seven basic items that are needed for control and for a leader to have in terms of the world. And so it's technology and banking to control the economics. We're going to spend a whole session just on banking and economics because the Bible talks about it. Revelation chapter 18. Energy and military strength, how the Bible indicates that he'll have power to control people all over the world. Every nation will submit to him. And an ideology, health and food. These are the basic things that people look to their country and to their leader to provide. And the Antichrist, he'll come forward and say, I can do all those things. Trust me, mark yourself with my mark and I'll let you buy and sell. I'll let you exist. Others, they'll be threatened with beheading. Well, here's a very important part of the last times. It has to do with Israel, the apple of God's eye. Listen to this passage in Zechariah. We've talked about Zechariah before, and I said it's one of the great prophetic books. But in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent unto me the nations which spoiled you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Isn't that a great verse? If you touch Israel, you touch the apple of God's eye. In other words, the very thing that God has his eye focused on is Israel. And we've stated in the past that God has a time clock. And Israel is that hour hand. We're watching the hour hand approach midnight. Jerusalem is the minute hand. Because the Bible talks about how the nations will want to control Jerusalem particularly. And we're looking at the fight over Jerusalem right now. And then the Temple Mount and the return to sacrifices, that's going to be the volatile acreage that the Antichrist will want because that's where he's going to erect an image of himself, asking people to worship him instead of worship God. So we know that that's God's time clock. So we see the time clock of God and we see the apple of God's eye. These are all taking place right in the Middle East. And so what are some of the news stories that I think call our attention to these very things? Well, here's one. The leader of Israel, Netanyahu. And I know he's controversial. He's controversial worldwide. But here's what you can say about him. He's good for security in that area. Here's what we're finding. We're finding that a strong leader is the best deterrent to aggressive military activity. I really believe that if there's a strong leader in the United States, I don't know that we'd have the war between Russia and Ukraine. I don't know that we'd be having China and Russia team up together. And so one of the things that's preventing war right now in the Middle East is because Netanyahu is a strong leader. And so he talks about this, a horrible nuclear war. I mean, this is a very recent article. And he says that it will break out if the world doesn't stop Tehran. Now, Tehran and Iran, they have made no bones about it. They plan to destroy the big Satan and the little Satan. The big Satan is the United States. Do you understand that these people hate America for whatever reason? Maybe because we're friends of Israel. Maybe because we're not afraid in the past to take a stand for what is right and wrong. And what they've done to violate human rights is unbelievable. But the rest of the world, they're simply willing to tolerate because they're hoping that if they turn their back to the human right violations there, that maybe other countries will turn their back on the human right violations in China and in Russia and other places as well. And so he talks about the fact that Iran must be stopped. And so he says this, it will change the world. And in an English interview, Washington-based Iran International said this, they dubbed it into Persian, they broadcast it in Iran, and he made it very clear that unless things change rapidly, there's this potential for a nuclear war. Now, here's why I think it's important for us to know that, because whether we like it or not, we're going to be involved. Iran has threatened not just Israel, but the United States. I'm convinced that what we read in Revelation chapter 6 through 18, in the tribulation, there will be nuclear holocausts. The passage in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, where the land is so contaminated, you can't even walk through it for 7 months. I really believe that that's involves some kind of nuclear contamination that comes. And so, again, an article says this, all signs point to imminent Israeli attack on Iran. Here's why I think this is important. Because you see, Israel in the past, because Iran continues to make progress on their nuclear power development, and they say it's only for peacetime use, but you and I both know that Iran is bent on destroying Israel and bent on destroying America. And so it's not for peacetime use. That's a deception. That's a lie. And so let me tell you this, that those in the know agree that the United States, as well as Israel, has to be on full alert. Because you see, as they continue to go toward, enriching uranium to the potential for a nuclear bomb, it will take place. My question is this, really, does it take place before or after the church is raptured? I think we're that close to the rapture. But at the same time, I think it's interesting because you see, the Bible said that there will be a state of turmoil and chaos in the Middle East, and we're watching that take place. As a matter of fact, I wonder if this isn't one of the ways that Israel becomes isolated on the world stage. Now, this was an opinion that was put into the Jerusalem Post. And that in itself is interesting because the Jerusalem Post, a Jewish publication, a daily publication, they say that Israel is becoming isolated. Isn't it amazing that the first people to Turkey and Syria after the earthquake were the Jewish people? And the shock of some of the people in Syria saying, wow, it's Israel, it's Jewish people coming. Time and time again, they're the first to come to a disaster. With all that they've done good, all they want is a little teeny piece of land called Israel that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They want that as their homeland. That's what they want. They want to be left to live in peace. But time and time again, they become the object of the United Nations criticism. And so here's what's interesting. Jordan, they want a reprimand on them. And the whole thing is just this idea that Israel's becoming isolated. Isolated because they look out for their own citizens and they look out for their own land and their own territory. But isn't this what Zechariah chapter 12 said? Since we started with the passage in Zechariah concerning the apple of his eye, let me read to you just this quick verse. It's familiar to you, but it says this. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the peoples round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judea and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves together with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the nations of the earth be gathered together against him. All the nations, including America, will be gathered together against it. We're watching that take place. We're watching the stage being set. And I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that the situation in Iran, because I'm convinced of this, that Iran soon will be at that position. And we're going to talk about how that can happen, even today, what is taking place. And, well, let's just do it now, because, you see, as we look at this, it leaves Israel in a very lonely position. And so it's so severe that they're even looking at what's called a civil war in Israel. And they're shocked. They said, you know, we should be Shabbat and the feast days, we should be a happy time. But instead, we're at a place where we're almost at a civil war. Why? Because, you see, there are some who say, okay, let's not risk the nuclear situation. And others say, we've got to. We're so small that if Iran does get to the point where they can actually bring about a nuclear bomb, we've got to be willing to stop it. And so he says this, God forbid a civil war. And he says this, today these words apply to internal peace as well as to the long-standing external threats facing Israel. And so here they are talking about war and peace in the Middle East. Here they are talking about being isolated from the rest of the world. Here they are talking about civil war. Remember chaos, chaos in every single country. Well, here's one of the reasons. Israel has said to the United States, said to the European Union, that significant Iranian enrichment could trigger a strike. They said there's all kinds of things that we want to try to do. Economic sanctions. But the rest of the world won't join in. This is why the China-Russia relationships are so important. Because you see, China knows that energy is the key to their economic development. And so they're willing to take oil from anybody. And so right now, Iran is willing to sell them. And they're willing to sell it in Chinese dollars. We'll get to that later in the week. A very important story. But in the meantime, it says this, that if Iran significantly enriches uranium above 60%, it could trigger an Israeli strike against its nuclear power plant. Well, a couple years ago, they did so. They messed up their computers. We're past that stage now. They've got those repaired. And now, some say that when they get to 90%, that's when they can actually do the bomb. And most people agree that they're at 84%. Some people think that they could be there sometime in the next several weeks to several months. This is a country that said they would not hesitate to use a nuclear bomb. You see, the Bible indicates this. Not only will there be chaos in the world, but Israel will be isolated. And I think that if Israel were to do something to destroy the power plant, the nuclear power plant that's in Iran, I really think that the whole world, including the United States, would turn against them. It would be a way for Israel to be completely isolated with every nation coming against them. Yeah, confusion in the Middle East, confusion in Israel. But exactly what the Bible said, that Israel would be hated by those armies around it, that Russia would be involved. And as I've told you before, I've stood on the border. I've seen Russian tanks in Syria. I mean, I can see them with my naked eye, exactly as the Bible said. And Russia with a horde of people coming against Israel. Russia continues to criticize Israel in the midst of the Ukrainian war. They continue to criticize Israel and to be a friend of Syria. Matter of fact, guess how Iran has the nuclear wherewithal? Iran doesn't have the expertise to do it. But Russia does. And Russia, friends with Iran, have now made it so that they can do the enrichment. My friend, they're ganging up against Israel. This is what the Bible said would take place. Here's another story that I think you should be aware of. It's this, Bill against missionaries in Israel. It's quite controversial. And so here are some, repent Israel, Jesus is Lord. Yes, there's a whole group of Messianic Jews. Thank God for them. And I think it's important for us because you see, even the early disciples, they brought the gospel to Judea, in Jerusalem. And Samaria, and then the rest of the world. In other words, the gospel went out from Jerusalem out to the world. And now the world is bringing the gospel back to Israel. But I think the reason for the law is this, and I'm not in favor of it. Matter of fact, I've been guilty of distributing tracts myself. I've been guilty of talking to people about the Lord there. I feel it's one of my calls because I love the Jewish people. I love them to the point that I don't want them to go to hell. I love them to the point that I want them to see that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. I don't blame them for crucifying Jesus. My sins put Jesus on the cross. Your sins put Jesus on the cross. I don't blame the Romans for it. I blame sin for it. But you see, I think that part of this is because of the Mormons. The Mormons have been very aggressive in terms of going to Israel and to try to convert Jews to Mormonism. And so now there's a law at the first, it didn't pass. It's going to come again. But they're actually trying to make it illegal for Christians. And unfortunately, with Christians, they lump Jehovah's Witnesses. They lump the Mormons. These people are not true Christians in the sense of a biblical way. But they lump them all together. What a tragedy, because you see, it is important for us to share Christ with him. But here's one of the differences. We should do it in a peaceful way. You know what? God gives you a choice to come to Christ. And I believe that every person should be allowed that choice. But isn't it good when they can have the information necessary? How do you read Isaiah 53 and not recognize it's talking about Jesus? How do you go to the Old Testament that gives so many predictions concerning the death of Jesus and the death of the Messiah and see that they're not the same? How could he be born exactly as the Messiah was promised? You see, these are things that I think need to be presented to the Jewish people. And so here's a law. Yes, the Jews are the apple of his eye, but it still means that we need to bring about a gospel message to them. And so thank God for the Messianic Jews. Thank God for those that are doing it in a respectable way. And by the way, let me just add this. While it's illegal, and this bill, if it would have passed, would have made it illegal to pass out literature, just wholesale distribution. But it does make it so that if a person asks for the reason within you, why do you believe this, you can answer that reason. And frankly, I'm not opposed to that. And so continue to pray for missionaries, because there are missionaries there, but they must be extremely careful. Otherwise, it will jeopardize them and any group that they have with them. Well, I want to go to another area, because as Israel is seething, there's some important people that are going to be making the news all the time, and this is one of them, and this is one of the leaders that Netanyahu has put in his cabinet. Frankly, I like him, but he's called offensive, and here's why. He said there's no such thing as a Palestinian people, and you know what? That's true. Yeah. Because, you see, the truth is this. Golda Meir, who is respected by all people, and because of time, I'm not going to spend a lot of time developing this, but the former Israeli Prime Minister, Golda Meir, respected by all, said there's no such thing as a Palestinian person. Now, she said that in the 1970s. And so this guy simply says, you know what? Since 1970 and now, if there wasn't any then, there can't be any now. And so they keep talking about Palestinian rights. Listen. Palestinian rights, it's a special group. I've been to Israel a number of times, over 70. I've seen the freedom that people have to live in any part of the country that they want to, as long as they will do so peacefully. It's the same freedom that you have in America, same freedom you have in Canada. Why should there be special privileges for a particular group of people? And so the idea of the Palestinians, I know sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm going to call them that because I don't want to offend them. No. I think we just have to be true to the Bible, because all the way back in the book of Luke, when it talks about Israel in the book of Luke, it talks about the fact that they're Jewish and the land belongs to Israel. And that was back in the days of Jesus. And so we're only making matters more complicated when we say, okay, the land of Palestine. That was done. I understand why it was done. I know when it was done. But it's not the land of Palestine. It's the land of Israel. God gave the land to Israel. Very clear. Genesis chapter 35. Gave it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so this man, he's just standing his ground. But let me tell you that these comments of that, they're bringing about controversy. And again, the United Nations says, wow, this is why Israel is so offensive. I'm going to be honest with you. When this man has an ideology that disagrees with the United Nations, then they call him offensive. Oh, he's not the only one. Here's another one. And I like this guy as well. We've talked about him, Ben-Vir. And he's the one that's actually in charge of Homeland Security. And what's interesting about him is he is one that says that Israel should have the right to pray on the Temple Mount. I agree with him. They should. Why is it that the Arab people, the Muslim people, can do that? Matter of fact, even this weekend, some of them barricaded themselves inside of the mosque. They had to be taken out. They've done that before. You see, this is crazy that special groups get these special privileges instead of people in Israel having their own rights. I really believe that this is one of the ways that we're going to see Israel isolate themselves from the rest of the world. Exactly as the Bible said. I believe that when all the nations turn against Israel, I think it's going to be in the tribulation. I believe that Israel is going to find themselves all alone. I think that's one of the reasons that they will turn to God, and one third of them will come back to Jesus Christ. They'll see who the true Savior is. Two thirds will lose their life. What a tragedy. But I think we're beginning to see this as around the world, there's such hatred for the Jewish people. Yet they've done incredible contributions in terms of medicine, in terms of technology. I've told you in the past that they actually are responsible for the cell phone. I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse. But they're genius in their health and in their medicines and in their technology. And the application of their electric car is far ahead of anyone else's. Yet they're picked on. Why? Well, I think it's because not the Jewish people, but I think it's the God of the Jews. Yeah, I think Satan's going to do all he can to make Israel so that they're always on the outs. And the United Nations has propagated that. And so here's Ben-Vir. And he's a leader of the Jewish Power Party. And he's talking about settlements, that they should be allowed to settle anywhere. He's talking about how they should be able to pray. And he has to go up on the Temple Mount with an escort. But thank God he's taken a stand against some of these things, and he's not afraid to do it. I really respect the idea that he's not afraid to take a stand. I'm sure it's difficult on him. Matter of fact, there's pictures of his family and the persecution they've gone just to pray on a piece of ground that was an important one in Israel's history. It was important because it was where Abraham offered up Isaac. It was important because it's where David offered a sacrifice on the threshing floor of Ornan. It's important because that's where Solomon built the temple. It's important because that's where Herod rebuilt the temple and Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. It's important because that's where the Antichrist is going to want to erect an image to himself to be sacrificed in the last day. And so we know how important it is. And this man says that Israel should have access to it like any other people. That's all he's asking. It should be neutral ground for all nations. Matter of fact, they allow Protestants to come. That's what this man wants. Jewish people to come, and even Muslim people to come. He said it should be a place where all nations can pray. But instead, right in the middle of Israel, right in the middle of Jerusalem, right on the Temple Mount, people say a Jew shouldn't be able to do it. A Christian should. They wouldn't even let us bring a Bible up there now. He's saying you should be able to bring a prayer book. You should be able to bring a Bible up there. You see what he's saying? It's not unreasonable. But the world is making him out to be an unreasonable man. Why? Because Israel, when they continue to be faithful to God and faithful to their beliefs, they're going to offend the rest of the world. And it's taking place right now. Here's another story that I think you'll find of great interest. Just in the last month, on our program, we reported about the blowing up of the Nord Stream 2. And how that in blowing that up, the United States did it. Earlier we admitted to it. Now we're trying to back away from it because it's such an atrocity, such an incredible thing in terms of polluting the environment. I mean, they don't want us to, they're against cows because cows burp and go to the bathroom, and they want to do away with a cow. They want to put a diaper on a cow. I mean, this is crazy. The climate disaster that occurred when we blew up Nord Stream 2 is far greater than that. And so now many of the people, including Germany, including Italy, are in a fix for gas because they were getting gas from the Nord Stream 2. Russia was happy to supply it because Russia desperately needs money to fuel their war. And we'll talk more about that in one of our future programs. But in the meantime, Israel has come to Rome, to Italy, and they say, you know what? We're willing to give you natural gas because Israel has an abundance of it. And remember the offshore drilling, we've talked about it. And so here they are, they said, you know what, we'll supply you with natural gas, but here's what we want in return. We want you to recognize Jerusalem as the capital. Now, this is unbelievable. First of all, I'm happy that Italy's willing to consider it. Next, I'm glad that America right now recognizes Israel has their capital as Jerusalem. And I know that right now there's a movement underfoot. I think if this current administration gets reelected, I think they will do everything they can to change the capital recognition from Jerusalem back to Tel Aviv. But why would they not want it Jerusalem? First of all, any country should be able to choose the capital of whatever city they want. And so Israel chooses Jerusalem. It should be Jerusalem. What if someone in Canada told us, okay, we want the capital to be Denver? Will we change it to Denver to satisfy the Canadians? We'd say, no. You choose your capital city, we'll choose ours. And so Israel says it's Jerusalem. It's the biblical place that Israel's history is founded. And yet the United Nations says, no, they shouldn't be allowed to have Jerusalem. Other countries say, you shouldn't be allowed to have Jerusalem. Well, they can choose whatever they want to. I'm so glad that a previous administration said Jerusalem is the capital. We recognize that as the capital. And so now Italy's going to recognize it. And in turn for that, they're going to sell them natural gas. You see, I began the program by saying Israel is the hour ahead. We're watching the controversy for Israel. It says that we're getting close to the coming of Jesus. Jerusalem is the minute hand. It's controversial. Look, one by one, countries are leaving. A few come back to it. And the Temple Mount, the most controversial man in the whole administration is a man who says that the Temple Mount should be a place for prayer for all. We're going to talk more about the red heifer and some of the recent events and news concerning that in some of our future programs. You see, all these things show this, that chaos, the conditions of chaos in the world, all say that we're living in the last days. I really think we're living in the last days. And so as we end our program today, if Jesus came today, are you ready? You see, what more could God put in the headlines than what he's done? All around the world, it points to the fact that we're living exactly in the conditions that the Bible said would be in the last days. And so let me tell you something. More important than any single incident I can give you, more important than any single news story I can give you, is a story of the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He proved he had power over death. He proved that he had victory over sin. Because on the cross, Jesus didn't die for his sins. He died for my sins. He died for yours. He shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And my friend, right now, God the Father, the holy God in heaven, is waiting for you to admit, I'm a sinner. But I come to Jesus like sinner.